Hello, listener, and welcome to the We're Not Experts History podcast. And I'd just like to start by saying how much I envy you, because you can turn this off at any time. I'm stuck here. I've got to listen to this to the end. With
You're
me,
so
as usual,
rotten.
is Sarah. Honesty is the best policy.
You love
so
this. This is the highlight of your week, listening to me just rabbit on about nonsense.
God, this is the highlight of my week, honestly. No point in carrying on.
That's probably true.
Anyway, you need to give us an introduction, tell us what you're talking about, and I'll turn my microphone off so I can have a cry.
Okay, then. Did you turn? I can hear you crying. Anyway, you'll be laughing at the end of this, hopefully. Because.
Hysteria.
Yeah, maybe. So, once again, I have chosen a very random, obscure topic to talk about because that's what I do best. This event happened in the summer of 1518 in Strasbourg, which at the time was Strasbourg in Germany. It's now Strasbourg in France, but yeah, it moved. But Strasbourg, which at the time was in Germany, had a problem. And it wasn't the usual medieval problem, like famine or... I don't know, what other problems did they have?
Bad Wi-Fi.
That as well, yeah, yeah. But instead, what happened was dozens and maybe hundreds, the actual figures are unclear, but potentially hundreds of townsfolk suddenly took to the streets and they started dancing, which sounds great, but they didn't stop. And they danced for weeks. And
is this a TikTok or an Instagram thing?
It may have been. It may have been a bit like the Harlem Shake situation. Do you remember that? The Harlem Shake?
No.
No. Did you not do a Harlem Shake? You must have done. It was a thing. Okay, I'll send you some videos after this. There was this trend going. And yeah. I'm sure most people will know what I'm talking about. It was the Harlem Shake. And yes, I did do a Harlem Shake at work. I'm not going to lie. Not on my own. Anyway, sorry, that's completely besides the point. Let's just continue with... But, right, I've lost my train of thought now talking about Harlem Shakes.
Dancing in the street.
Dancing in the street, yeah. So this happened, and historians have since scratched their heads, blaming everything from bread mould to collective madness. But whatever the cause, it definitely remains one of history's strangest raves.
Yeah, that might be a fairish assessment.
Mm.
That does sort of suggest there was drugs being taken.
Yeah. But anyway... How did it start? I hear you cry. Well, how did it start? So it actually kicked off on the 14th of July, 1518, when a woman called, and I'm probably going to say this name wrong, so forgive me, a woman called Frau Trophia. Don't know if I've said that
right. That's right. Yeah, that's how it's spelled. Go with it.
Yeah. She began dancing and she didn't stop. So, okay, you know, you see people dancing around all the time. But she was outside her house. So this is in, as I said, it's in Strasbourg. So we've got these narrow cobbled streets and she's just in the street. No music, no invitation, no sense of personal boundaries. She's just bopping away and she didn't stop. And days passed and she just kept dancing, just dancing, and
weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird. And you would think, okay, something's not right there. There's some kind of psychotic episode happening, perhaps, for somebody just to dance like that and just not stop. But what made it even weirder was within a week, dozens of others had joined in, including her own daughter, and I'm going to try and say this name, Fraulein Emma Goetz.
I would have said Goetz.
Maybe Goetz then. Okay. So,
not sure.
It's spelt G-O-T-Z, so I'm going to say Goetz, but I might be completely wrong. I don't know. I don't know German names, but...
Anyway. Yeah, there's an umlaut above the O, which makes me think it might be Goetz. But
you're probably right. But anyway,
if she doesn't like it, she can email us.
Yes, she can. I'll Well, or she can go to the website and contact us through there. That might be easier.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the weeks went on. So that's how it started. So it started with this one woman just having a casual rave in the street with no music, and. As the weeks went by, this dancing fever, if you want to call it that, it spread like wildfire. And by August, the so-called dancing plague had allegedly ensnared around 400 victims, allegedly. There aren't actual definite figures. This is just kind of estimates. But they weren't doing a tango. I don't think the tango was a thing then. But anyway, the dancing they were doing, it wasn't... I'm saying dancing, but it wasn't dancing. Witnesses described the movements as more like spasmatic convulsions. People just kind of waving their arms around, vacant eyes. Bodies were drenched in sweat. And their feet would have swollen up to the point where they had blood in their shoes. You know, this was kind of out of control movement. It wasn't like they were dancing for joy.
Involuntary
would be the right word for it. And while some actually were crying out for help while they were dancing because they couldn't stop. And others were collapsing from just sheer exhaustion and hunger and thirst because, you know, if you're dancing for days and days and you're not taking any sustenance, you're going to pass out. And it's summertime as well. I don't know what the temperature's like there, but if it's anything like the summers here, it would have been hot. And rumours suggest that a few people might have perished, actually, from heart attacks or strokes from dancing. So literally they danced themselves to death. But that's not 100% accurate. I'm not sure. Some sources say that the plague claimed as many as 15 lives a day during its peak, but that might just be whispers. I don't know if that's actually true. But either way, it was a nightmare situation, quite eerie, I should imagine. Just suddenly, everyone in the streets just dancing, but just like zombies almost, just waving their arms around, blank staring, and just not responding, not stopping. That must have been quite creepy to witness.
Yeah, I'm picturing those huge inflatables they have outside the garages. They blow air through them, just leaning back, their arms are flailing everywhere.
Probably a bit like that, yeah.
But then if you're the authorities in Strasbourg, what are you doing? I don't even know how you would even begin. You can't.
I think they were just baffled. I mean, they didn't know what this was. Yeah, and we're not even seeing it. But they decided it must be some kind of illness because suddenly everyone's dancing for no reason. So naturally they handed the problem over to the city's physicians. And when I say physicians, I say that in the loosest possible way. Yeah. They were not the physicians that we think of today. And after some careful medical deliberation, they prescribed the most logical cure, which was just dance it out. In other words, we don't know what the hell's going on, so you just carry on and, you know, surely it will work its way out, whatever this is. And to make sure that patients complied, guild halls were refurbished to accommodate actual dance floors. And they even hired musicians to keep the beat going, to keep people dancing. It's crazy. It's like, we might as well turn it into a party, seeing as everyone's already dancing. Let's just turn it into a rave. I know. It's mental. But
people just want to dance.
They even had strong people enlisted to hold the exhausted dancers up when their bodies were giving out, but they still couldn't stop dancing. Crazy, absolutely crazy. Predictably, this plan backfired, as you can imagine.
I'm shocked.
And so what you have to remember is this is 1518, and people were very deeply religious, very deeply superstitious, and many of the residents, they convinced themselves that they were being punished by Saint Vitus.
Vitus.
And they decided that the best way to absolve themselves of sin was to just join this chaotic conga that was going on. And so essentially they're just jumping on the bandwagon. They're just like, well, we better just join in with this because otherwise we're sinning. So let's just, you know. And eventually the council had no choice but to ban the dancing outright, and they even banned music because I guess to them that was encouraging the dancing, even though they kind of came up with that in the first place. But anyway. So obviously for the most stubborn dancers, because they're out of control. So banning dancing isn't going to just make everybody stop because they have no control over what they're doing. Say that again.
I'm not really sure because it sounds to me like that's the perfect answer.
You would think, but it's just difficult because we don't know how much of this was an actual illness and how much of it was behavioural. Obviously, some of the people, it was a behavioural thing. They were just kind of joining in with it. But we'll come more to that later when we talk about the reasons behind why this happened. But anyway, we're at the stage now where the council have banned dancing, they've banned music. Obviously, this hasn't worked for everybody. So for some of the most stubborn dancers, things got a little bit more ceremonial, and they were ordered to march to the shrine of Saint Vitus wearing red shoes sprinkled with holy water, decorated with painted crosses on the top and the bottom, holding crosses in their hands and waving incense around and chanting Latin incantations
Incantations, you were right, yeah.
That word, yes.
Obviously that sounds all plausible.
It does. Do you know what really kind of puzzles me, though, is how did they get... Because I'm assuming that these people wouldn't have been wearing red shoes to start with. How did they get red shoes on them, and how did they paint crosses on the tops and bottoms while people were dancing?
You have actually answered this because you said their feet were so swollen and their shoes were filled with blood.
Ah, that could be... Oh, that's grim. There we go. But then how... Okay, so just say you're right. How did they paint crosses? I mean, have you ever tried to dress a toddler when they don't want to be dressed? I can imagine this is a bit like that. Trying to get shoes on somebody while they're frantically dancing away. I can't see how that's going to work. But anyway... Or making them go somewhere. Yeah. How are you going to get them to march to the shrine if they're dancing? I don't know how.
The biggest flaw in this is doing all of this crap rather than going to a shrine, which is obviously going to work.
But anyway.
Go and talk to your imaginary friend, that'd do it.
Yeah. But what was quite miraculous is that once, obviously, they managed to somehow get some of these people to the shrine. And once word began to spread that Saint Vitus had granted forgiveness, this dancing epidemic began to just fizzle out. So the hype train, if you like, kind of stopped. And by September, the last few dedicated dancers, so the people that were still dancing away, they were escorted to a mountaintop to pray. And the streets of Strasbourg finally got some much needed rest from all that stomping about. And that was that.
Makes me wonder whether this is it's just all good timing, because whatever has caused this has sort of come to an end naturally.
Yeah.
And it just happens at the same
just
time.
Just so
as
happens
well,
that. Mm.
Well, talking to St. Vitus, yeah, going to mountain tops.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it also makes me wonder what has caused all of this.
Yeah, and there are some modern theories. I mean, obviously, then they were kind of limited to it's got to be some kind of illness, or it's got to be some kind of punishment from Saint Vitus or God or whatever. But us in the modern age, we kind of, you know, have a slightly broader view. And one of the possible theories was some form of food poisoning. Now, some researchers have suggested that the dancing could have been triggered by food poisoning from a toxic psychoactive chemical produced by ergot fungi. And this fungi, it commonly grows on grains like rye, which was the staple for bread at the time. So that kind of is very plausible. That makes a lot of sense. Now, what's interesting is that the main psychoactive compound is ergotamine. I don't know if I've said that right. Ergotamine. And it's structurally related to, I'm not going to try and say what.
No, say it.
It is.
Say it.
I'll try. Okay. Lysergic acid diethylamide. LSD,
LSD.
And this is the substance from which LSD was originally synthesized. And the same fungus has been linked to other historical anomalies, including the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, they do suggest that ergot poisoning may have been the cause for everything that went on during the Salem witch trials, but I don't remember hearing about dancing in Salem.
No, and one of the kind of things against this theory is that it doesn't explain. I mean, the idea of poisoning, yes, it's quite, you know, makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't explain the dancing, and it doesn't explain why people were able to dance for days without collapsing. I mean, yes, they collapsed eventually, but I mean, realistically, if I got up and started dancing, I'd probably last, what, maybe 2 hours, and I'd have to sit down. So, yes, it does not explain why people could dance so frantically for so long. And it doesn't explain why so many individuals would respond to the chemicals in exactly the same way. Because if you get two people take the same drug, they generally don't react exactly the same. If they take the same dose of the same drug, you won't get the same reaction, because it depends on so many factors.
Sorry? We should test that.
Yeah.
We should test it. You and I. We'll test it.
I'll get some drugs and... do I have to bleep out that word, actually? I'm not sure.
Get some ergot.
Yeah, I'll get some mushrooms.
I'll accuse you of witchcraft and you can dance.
Yeah, sorted. Okay, that's next weekend fixed. So that theory was kind of thrown out a little bit. What also didn't make a lot of sense was that the outbreaks seemed to all occur along the Rhine and Moselle rivers. So these were different climates with different crops, but the plague seemed to have quite a specific taste in geography, if that makes sense. So, it kind of doesn't quite add up. Now, another explanation, which to me makes more sense, was a case of stress-induced mass hysteria. And what they suggested was that the dancing plague may have been a case of psychogenic movement disorder, which was triggered by mass hysteria. So it's basically when large groups of people suddenly exhibit the same strange behaviour.
Right.
And it can be added to. So if so many people start doing it, then others, it kind of makes it where other people will join in, because it's this whole, I forget the name of it, but I remember studying this in psychology, you know, with this whole sort of crowd behaviour, mob behaviour and stuff. You know, people will act out of character sometimes if they're in a crowd, or it's strange how it can affect your psychology.
Yeah, they look at it with in football violence. People will act differently when they're in a crowd of people than they would if they were on their own.
Yes, exactly. So when you consider the extreme stress of the period, so you've got starvation, you've got disease, you've got all these deeply held superstitions, it's not hard to imagine that people need some kind of release, a way to cope. And in actual fact, there have actually been 7 other dancing plagues in this area during the medieval era. So that kind of says quite a lot. And I will just quickly run through. I won't go into huge detail. To be fair, I don't know huge details about all of these things, but they're so obscure that they're not particularly well documented. But in going back to 1237, I'm probably going to pronounce a lot of these place names completely wrong, but you had a Fert. I don't know if I said that right, in Germany, a group of children began dancing uncontrollably, and that continued for miles. Then in 1278, Aachen in Germany, around 200 people danced on a bridge and it collapsed. And again, this was all spontaneous dancing, you know. This was before we had like raves and all of that kind of thing. Like, people just randomly would just start dancing for no reason. It was just weird. Between 1373 and 1374, in multiple locations, there was a significant outbreak of this dancing. People just dancing.
This is quite widespread as well, looking at this. That's Germany, France, and the Netherlands.
14, yeah, I mean, it did kind of spread, but it was all in and around, all during the medieval period. And I think as well that all of the locations, so you've got 1418, you've got Strasbourg, by then it was the same place, but it was in France. It was classed as France by then. You've got 1428, Switzerland, 1538, Switzerland again, and 1551, we're back in Germany. This was a solitary individual, so he might have just been on some crack or something, I don't know. But it was still recorded as a abnormal dancing episode. But all of these areas were kind of known for having sort of high poverty rates and famine and all of this stuff. So it does kind of tie in with the theory that it could have been like a stress response from these people, perhaps. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about it to really say. But in all, it's definitely one of history's strangest medical mysteries, and we don't know whether it was caused by contaminated bread or collective hysteria or something else entirely. But it does offer us a glimpse into the lives and the stresses of the people living in late medieval Europe. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of it, really.
No.
And I mean, yes, the outbreak ended, but it did leave a lasting mark on history, and we still haven't quite figured it out. But it just goes to show that human behaviour can sometimes defy all expectations, and basically when things get difficult, people might just start dancing whether they want to or not. But
yeah, why has it happened since?
Sorry?
Why hasn't it happened since?
To be fair, though, now I guess we have more outlets for stress and things like that. You know, you can go to a nightclub and you can dance, and you can go drink, and you can go. So perhaps then, I mean, now, say, if you got somebody from medieval England and you plop them into a middle of a rave happening, they would think that everybody at that rave was possessed by something. You know, people just throwing themselves around, dancing madly. I mean, imagine putting them into a silent rave. They'd be like, what is this? You're all possessed. But it's, I guess that's kind of like a release, isn't it? You know, dancing. So maybe that's what it was. The only thing that makes me feel a bit like I don't know if it was normal was the fact that it seemed they didn't have control over it. You know, the fact they were dancing to the point where their feet were bleeding, and yes,
yeah, I do wonder how many of the people inflicted in inverted commas were doing it just because everyone else was doing it and they feel they need to move in.
There would have been a lot of that.
I think a lot of that went on during the Salem witch trials as well. Well, they're doing it. Maybe I should join in.
Yeah, no, I think with any kind of big event like that, where there's sort of unusual human behaviours happening, I think a lot of it is this whole crowd mentality. Everybody jumping on the bandwagon, if you like.
Yeah.
And particularly as well, if they had these strong beliefs that they were being punished by the saint, and the dancing was a way of absolving themselves of sin, they probably would have thought, right, I need to join in. I need to be part of this, because otherwise I'm not going to be absolved of my sin. That's how I would see it anyway. That's what I think. But very unusual. And it wasn't something I could find out much about. It was such an obscure thing, and because it wasn't like a major world event, it wasn't like the Great Fire of London, which was absolutely life-changing. I mean, you can find tons of stuff about that, and it wasn't like the plague, but it was still quite significant, particularly for that area of Europe, and it was quite unusual. And yeah, I just wanted to just chat about it, really, because it's just so weird. It's such a weird thing to happen.
It is a weird one. I think the time as well, how long ago it was, and their lack of understanding around potential causes of it wouldn't have helped. So their recording of it wouldn't probably give us the detail we would need to diagnose whatever the cause was.
No, and I think as well, a lot of the theories and stuff are more modern theories, so it's kind of people that weren't there at the time, they're just looking at the records and thinking, what could have caused this? But they weren't there. They didn't see it. They're just going by the witness statements and what was recorded at the time. And we don't know how accurate that was. So it's really difficult to kind of figure out what actually happened. I wish somebody would invent a time machine. That would be so good. You never know. It might happen one day. Because then we could go
back and get a blood sample.
Sorry?
You can go back and get a blood sample.
Yeah.
From their feet.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have to stick a needle in them.
Just no.
Empty their shoes. But what's interesting, actually, not completely off topic, but slightly off topic, but the, do you know Florence and the Machine?
No.
Okay. They're a band, and one of their songs, it was called Coromania, and it was actually influenced by this event.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that. I found that out recently. I used to be not a huge fan, but I used to listen to Florence and the Machine. When I used to work at the hospital, one of my colleagues was a massive fan, and he used to play it all of the time. So I knew a few of their songs, and I have heard this track, and I didn't know it was based on this event. So that was quite interesting to find that out. But yeah, that's that. That is the Dancing Plague of 1518. One of many, but that was just the one I decided to talk about. Yeah. But
Thank you for that. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to diagnose a case of Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So I'm glad we've solved that one.
Yeah. See, that's all they needed to do. Just ask us, and we would have been like, yeah, we know what it is, and problem solved.
A couple more people have got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we're not experts.
No, we're definitely not experts. But we try. We try.
One day, my concern is one of us will find a subject we are experts in. And we'll do this and realise that we've just ruined everything.
Well, we'll have to do one on Peasdale because you are, according to Google, the leading expert on Peasdale. Yeah, so.
Yeah, for anyone who's listening, Peasdown was the name of a small farming hamlet in Essex, which was flattened for the creation of East Hanningfield Reservoir. But the title says we're not experts, so we can't do that one. You're not an expert.
No, but I'm not an expert, but you're an expert on that, so you could do that.
I am, sadly, somehow the leading expert. There must be someone else out there.
We could just cross out the we're not experts bit. No, we could cross out the not and put we are experts just for that one.
Yeah. All right, that's enough waffling to make this figure it out. An hour.
We'll figure it out. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed that random little chat about the Dancing Plague of 1518.
So I hope people are listening to this and think, I've never heard of it. And you've just given them a little lesson on it.
To be fair, I'd never heard of it until I began to research it, and I thought, that is weird. Yeah, I need to look into this.
Yeah, I hope that has enlightened any of our listener to a story they've never heard of before.
Yeah.
And I thank them for listening, if they actually got this far. And I don't need to remind you that we're really not experts. We are just two history fans who like plodding our way through subjects that take our fancy.